3:15 in the morning. Sometimes you just don't. Need to get an oil change on the dot. My 2015 Mitsubishi Mirage. A little three banger. And I could have gone the cheap route, but I didn't. I decided to go ahead and put synthetic oil in it. Try to keep this little sucker running good for another few years. I think this job's going to give me an ulcer. I'm going to try not to think about that, because I think that's the best thing to do, you know. The job's just the job. 8 to 5. Knocking out what needs to be done. I'm doing tons and tons and tons of updates. And trying to pull together an infrastructure. Well, that's what Max is doing. He's got me with some projects to get the infrastructure going in a direction. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, that's what I have to think of it too. I was thinking about, you know, I would always wonder, so what are you going to do when you retire, man? And you go, well, I don't know. And then the whole idea of Wilfornia comes back. Wilfornia is an interesting concept. So I think a lot of people, well, to be honest, outside of Tucumcari, a lot of them came to the region for cheap land, to be honest. And it was a bit of a, oh, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it's a bit of a ripoff, really. Until homesteaders came to the area, there really wasn't any permanent settlements. There were some big, huge ranches. There were some Spanish land grants, but not very many in this part, because it really wasn't viewed as anything that was really useful. It was, I don't recall anybody saying it was anything more than just kind of a wasteland. Now, there was some nice places, you know, the Pecos River and the Canadian River passed through the area. Although I gotta say that, you know, the Pecos is probably a little bit better. Well, see, I can't say that. Not really any appreciable settlements. Puerto de Luna, which is an interesting place, you know, you think it would have been a Spanish place, really, but it wasn't. It was more of a, who was the guy that ran the store there? I think Billy the Kid used to go there occasionally. Cattle stations or something like that. It was the guy who started, I think, was Polish. So you're saying, you know, this really has more to do with people trying to find a place, trying to figure out what to do here. Looking out over the thing and going, well, what are we going to do with this place? And kind of became what it was. You know, hard to describe. My family, my mom's family, came out here just at the turn of the 20th century. And I guess, golly, let me think back. Generations. My mom, her father, her grandfather. So my great-grandfather, he was the one that actually ended up getting land and staying here for the bulk of his life. He passed away here. Or at least in, you know, Clovis. He kind of based himself north of Clovis on his ranch. Which my grandmother and her sisters held on to it, traded it amongst their families, and they stayed. They lived in Clovis. Clovis was kind of the home base for that whole generation. And then my mom came back and just stayed. She's not there now, but she lived the better part of her life until she moved up to Tucumcari. She stayed there for, I don't know, 10 years maybe? And then health kind of got to her, and she went and moved with my brother in Utah. I think George, Utah. Hot place in the desert. But prosperous, oh my goodness, yes. Don't exactly know why, but it is. Anyway, my great-great-grandfather had come to the area when my grandmother was born in 1914. The base of operations was pretty much in Texaco, on the Texas-New Mexico border. And I heard that they had a hotel there. Had a hotel in Texaco. And but then they had bugged out. And they eventually passed on in Amarillo. They went back to, well, you know, to be honest, Amarillo's where a lot of people end up going to die. It's where the hospitals are. Anyway, so I don't know if it's romantic at all to say, you know, this is, you know, you just, you're tough for a while when you're younger, I guess. I'm not. That's not me, for Pete's sakes. Oh, my gosh. And then, you know, you get older and you don't want to have to mess with it. And you move to town. That's what my grandfather did. He eventually became Mayor of Clovis, and he moved into town. He moved into Clovis, lived in the Rencher Street house for a very long, you know, and he passed away there. And, anyway, so, especially when it became more feasible to travel back and forth from town out to the ranch. Anyway, so, my mom and her generation of cousins, the people who inherited the ranch, eventually sold out, and I was in favor of the ranch getting sold. It was worth a lot more as a saleable piece of property than it was as a working venture. Nobody was ranching anymore. All moved on to other things. There was one cousin that had aspirations to hang on to the ranch. I don't know, it got to be a little bit of a tiff among some of the cousins. You know, they felt like they deserved more of the money from the sale of things than than the rest because they had contributed more to working the ranch at the time. Of course, I think these people were, you know, I think they were compensated at the time, you know, but it's okay. You don't really want to get into it too much. And kind of the good thing about California is it doesn't really include that piece of land particularly. I always kind of pictured it as Quay County and Harding County and Eastern, golly, probably the eastern half of San Miguel County. Being in California, it was really, I based it on the broadcast area of the AM radio station there in Tucumcari, KTNM, which broadcasts, oh, I don't know how they say it, 50 miles out in every direction. Anyway, so old technology. Anyway, and that was Wilfornia. Didn't really need to get into. I tried to spice things up by. I did a website for Wilfornia. Still got it up. You know, it's still there. And it's all about tries to pull together information about this stuff. It's getting tough. You know, the kids of a lot of the original, you know, settler sorts of, are all either antique or passed on now. So now you've got the grandkids in there. A lot of them are somewhat distant from the whole thing of it. You know, they've moved on. And, you know, you don't want to fault anybody horribly for doing such things. That's what life's all about, you know. You know, when I think about the history of the region, like I said, there was no permanent settlements particularly in there. You know, there might be some hunting camps. This was probably mostly a buffalo territory when left just completely fallow. You know, there's arroyos out east in Texas. There's arroyo country. And, Wilfornia, like I said, was mostly a Canadian River Valley situation. A few creeks running through that drained into the Canadian. And then at some point stuff would start draining into the Pecos River. But it was actually quite a ways, you know. The Pecos goes in a completely different direction from the Canadian. The Canadian River drains into the Arkansas, which eventually drains into, what does the Arkansas drain into? The Mississippi? So, this was probably the very western, southwestern edge of the Louisiana Purchase. Although never, I don't think it was ever really, you know, it was never really fully explored very well at all. You know, like I said, it was some of the last territory to ever really be broken out for homesteading, for stuff like that. You know, the fact that it was that it took homesteading to kind of make this territory what little development it got came from that kind of stuff. Oh, it was the huge effort to kind of turn the thing into something more agricultural. Like a lot of the territory around here, it was mostly railroad stuff. Almost every single town that still seems to exist, although maybe holding on by the skin of their teeth, by just, you know, because there was a school there, was mostly because of the railroad, not for anything more exotic than that. Almost every settlement had a railroad purpose for being. And Tucumcari, San Juan, Santa Rosa, Bard, called Indy. These were all places along the railroad that came through. And then going up north, Mascaro, Roy, those were both on railroads, on the old Dawson railway that went up to the, what was up in Dawson? Coal was up in Dawson. Well, still is, as far as I'm aware of. They just decided to decommission the railroad. You can still see parts of that railroad. You go on Google Maps, and it's on the satellite maps, and you can still see the efforts, even up until, I think, almost the 70s. But they were still working Dawson. Although the old siding, it's gone now, but, you know, the old one, that was, Tucumcari was a major transfer point for that railway up there. You can still see where the railway had gone. I was kind of thinking that might be kind of a cool little historical thing. But everybody who would have had anything to do with that railway is long gone by now. Heck, almost everything to do with the railway now. When I came to Tucumcari, and I got my job working for WIC. That was my first job in Tucumcari. I was transferred there with WIC in a kind of a way. It's not really transfers, but I took a position in Tucumcari, and that's what brought us, that's what got us set up in Tucumcari. And we did our banking at the Southern Pacific Employees Credit Union. The Southern Pacific was the railroad going through town, and it was already, you know, there really wasn't very many people employed by Southern Pacific anymore. And it got bought out by Union Pacific. And I think when that happened, they had been good not to make the membership possibilities very tough there. So when Southern Pacific got bought out, it seemed kind of silly to keep calling the place the Southern Pacific Employees, you know, Railroad Employees Credit Union. They renamed it Everyone's Credit Union. Still have an account there. Although in traveling around, got in with First Financial and Portales and kept up our accounts there. Lisa goes into Portales or Clovis weekly, although I think she might start cutting back on that. Only going every now and then. Maybe only every other week or a month or so. At least right now. 'Cause she's got a job. She's an aide out at San Juan Schools. Anyway, hope that's going good for her. She found out she had to do that because she was so close to qualifying for Medicaid and sorry, Medicare and Social Security. Didn't quite have enough credits, so she had to go back to work. And that's kind of what we ended up coming up with. Oh, anyway, so our continuing flirtation with the region around Tucumcari, it's really interesting. Even though I've lived in Tucumcari for quite a while, not really very tied to it. Did a lot more with the outlying area. When I taught school out at San Juan. Did some computer work there for Logan Schools, just a little bit on contract. Most of my kids, except for Matt's a Tucumcari. Matt's the Tucumcari man. He is the one who does Tucumcari. He went to school there, graduated from Tucumcari High, stuff like that. I have to say the rest of the kids are kind of had more to do with the outskirts. Although my kids usually had to work in Tucumcari. Shayna did. Shayna worked in Tucumcari and she did go to school at House. And then she went to Mesa Lands and then over to Oklahoma Panhandle State. Anyway, so yeah, this is for having lived in Tucumcari. This is we didn't really do a lot in Tucumcari, honestly. But I think that's kind of true for think it's kind of true for a lot of the people in Wilfornia itself. It's mostly around Tucumcari, not Tucumcari itself. Yeah. And then when it came to church stuff, I was always the guy who kind of took care of the outskirts of things. There's families in Santa Rosa. I'd go visit the families in Santa Rosa. And the folks out at House, we'd go visit them. I think. Anyway, so yeah. So, anyway, so Wilfornia, always tied to that, like I said, to the broadcast area, that radio station, KTNM. It does country music, or it did do country. I don't know what it does now. It's always been kind of an outlier. Although now, the FM side of it. KQAY. There, it bounced around a lot. It was a pretty mid-range, top 40 station for quite a while, for a long time, and then it got sold off to this broadcasting group out of Roswell, and it kind of became a Well, I'm sad to say that it's kind of a 70s, 80s, and 90s kind of outfit now. So it's kind of the music that I grew up with a little bit. Although when I went on my mission, music kind of stopped and didn't do much music after that. It's not the popular stuff anyway. Stuck in the late 70s, early 80s type stuff. And not really much in the early 80s either. Anyway, but yeah, who knows? Do something with that KTNM radio station. I can't think that number one AM stations aren't worth very much anymore. A lot of people don't even have radios that can even tune into such things. But I do. Anyway, so that was where Werewolf 40 was kind of based on. So kind of a 50-mile range around Tucumcari. And then I think I say for the marginal people who can marginally hear the radio station, that's about that goes out about a little bit further. I think they say like 120 miles. That's I'd say 75. Let's not get crazy. So it's kind of the territory. For anything else to talk about, I guess. So might be a little bit of let's say I'm doing this service mission. That might be something interesting to get into there. Trying to figure out ways to preserve what heritage is. It was kind of a phase. Like I said, started out kind of hardly anybody living there until the railroad came. Now it's kind of like hardly anybody living out there. But along the interstate, that's what Tucumcari and San Juan and Santa Rosa are, for lack of anything else, is just. Oh, funny, I release some water. Well, it's 4 o'clock. So I'm gonna go ahead and cut this off. Not that I said much, but that might be something I might be doing in my retirement years. Kind of working on that kind of stuff, historical stuff, for the area. Anyway, so. Well, I'll go ahead and close out this recording, and then we'll do something else. Talk to you later. Bye.